Welcome to the Make It App podcast. Our goal is to make disciples, be a safe space where truth meets love, and meet people where they are at so they can make a difference at their schools, with their friends, and with anyone they meet.
Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lindsay, and joining me today, we have three guests. The first one, because he always complains that I do him last, is Reggie.
What's cracking?
Next, we have joining us for the first time, Mackenzie.
Hi guys.
Mackenzie, just wanted to give a quick explanation of who you are and what you do.
Okay, so I'm basically the ISM administrator. So any like text in church type of things that you guys see, I am the one sending those out. And I'm Reggie's assistant, so I help him with all of that.
And she's also my older sister.
Yeah, that's true. Like, not related.
And lastly, we have Maddie.
Woo. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. There you go.
Shout out to the middle schoolers. You guys rock.
Okay, so today we are jumping into another segment of Loving Your Neighbor, but we're really going to be talking about, like, it's called Loving Your Neighbor, the Sinners today. So kind of what I want to jump into is Matthew 9, verses 11 through 13, and I'm going to read this really quick, and then we're just going to discuss. It says, "When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Okay, so the point that I kind of want to stick on for just a little bit is the part in verse 13 where he says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." What does that mean?
Do I have to go first? Maddie, why don't you tell us? For all the middle schoolers listening.
I was distracted.
We're filming this or recording this at the time of the eclipse on April 8th. And Reggie has little eclipse glasses.
He was
wearing
the eclipse glasses. And then he was telling me that I was blind.
Actually, I was saying that I was blind. If you we actually can't see anything.
Well, yeah, because they're on.
You're meant to be looking at the sun. But how does he desire mercy, not sacrifice?
Well, in the passage that it's referring to, he was calling Matthew, who was a tax collector, and everyone's up in uproar because of it. When he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifices," mercy is like a love. It's Jesus saying, "I desire your heart, not just what you can do for me. I desire you, not just like what you're gonna do in my name." Because if you're just doing things for God, but he doesn't have your heart. Mm. Yeah, that's not it.
It's a womp womp.
Oh my God.
Got him. Got him. I'm using Gen Z slang there. That hit different. All right. No. Z, you have anything to add?
I'll probably add after you. Go ahead.
You're only just here to not get fined.
Not get fined or fired.
Fired, whatever.
She's a mom with. Now. She doesn't know Gen Z slang.
Oh. That's true. I'm not in anymore.
So, I think it's pretty straightforward that God is about mercy. I think there's this perception that God is this harsh, draconian, moralistic, holier-than-thou, self-righteous, pontificating little beast of a human or of a God. And he's nothing like that. Yes, he holds standards. But his standards are not because, oh my gosh, you're just not good enough. It's our actions are cancerous. It destroys society. Lies create distrust and hurt and betrayal. Gossip, same situation. Stealing, same situation. Murder, same situation. Hate. I can go on and on about the 600 commandments laid out are all about right living and living in community. And in order for God to restore humanity, for his sacrifice on the cross to be made of effect, we do have to live better. But his whole point is, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's why he came to die for us. It's why God sent his son. The whole plan was, mankind can't get it together, but I love them. yeah, the people.
That's kind of where I was going to go to. It kind of reminds me of like the, it's like a pretelling of like where he's going, you know, because like before you would have to go and sacrifice to atone for your sins. But now he's calling for mercy instead of sacrifice. So I think it's kind of like showing where he's going.
Yeah. Well, and I think so many students can relate to like trying to earn like the love of their parents or their friends or their coaches, whatever it is, based on like things that they do. But Jesus is saying the opposite. Like, I want you first and then you'll do things for me, hopefully. But like, first I want you. Like, he called Matthew out of being a tax collector. He's like, I want you. People are like, oh, but do you know what he does? And Jesus was like, I'm not dumb. Yes, I'm God. I know what but I know who he is, and who he is a child of mine.
Yeah, he like wants their heart first. Yeah. And then their actions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, my next question, I guess, would be, how do we kind of follow that example in Jesus? Like, Jesus saying, like, I love the person. And this chapter is about, like, loving the sinners and, like, loving people who sin. And Jesus clearly loves people who sin, right? I mean, like, you guys were just talking about the mercy, not sacrifice. What does that mean for us? Like, in relating to Jesus or relating to other people?
Maybe it's a hot take. I hate the saying, hate the sin, love the sinner. I cannot stand when people say that for some reason. It just, like, irks me. But to love sinners it's not an easy thing, right? Like, it's really easy to look at our friend and be like, you're a liar. Like, okay, not my friend, not Lee Lindsay, sorry. But, like, if we have a hypothetical friend, right, and it's easy to look at them and be like, oh, she is a liar, versus, like, she is a person who lies. Like, something I learned in college that was really helpful just in general was, like, when it comes to mental health diagnoses or it comes, like, people struggle with addiction, it's not like, oh, they're an addict or, oh, they're just, like, depressed. It's like, no, they're a person who struggles with X. And you have to, in your mind, remove the sin from the person and try to see the person who God loves. But it's not, like, an easy thing, right? But you have to, like, in your mind, do that, you know? Because, like, you can love someone, but sometimes we're like, oh, I love them, but, like, from a distance. And you're like, okay, but I don't know. It's not an easy thing to do. I think Christians make it sound easy. Like, oh yeah, I love the sinner, hate the sin. It's like, it's not an easy thing to do.
I feel like they say that until the sin affects them, if that makes sense, you know? So like saying like, oh yeah, love this, like, love the sinner, hate the sin. But what if their sin is lying and they have a problem with lying and or gossiping, and then it affects the person who said that, you know? And then they're like, oh, well, now I don't want to forgive, or I don't want to deal with it. And so instead of removing the sin, they've labeled it and they've kept it, you know, close, like what you were saying, instead of like removing it and dealing with it, now it's affected them personally. And they're like, okay, well, now it's the same thing, same person, same sin, like all of it together.
Yeah, you see, without Matt, you guys can't see it. Whenever they mention the word sin, they keep looking at me sideways. I just want to say, I feel like...
What?
I just feel like...
I don't think anyone has looked down.
At Reggie. I think, looking at you. Let's calm down. If there was a recording, you would see this, but there's three of them. So I will just go forward with my point. I'm just having fun with everyone listening. Although Maddie's looking at me very, very like...
I'm just waiting for you to contribute.
Oh, just like a Brit. Just like a Brit to want to start a war. I just want my freedom.
Technically Americans. didn't we?
Are you?
The revolution.
Oh, yeah. Technically.
You're both an American and an Irish person or a Scottish person.
That means I hate England more.
You should.
But our friendship doesn't even make sense anymore.
Have you heard of
Romeo and Juliet of friendship?
You took psychology. What's this? Is it called Munchausen syndrome? What? When the captive becomes supportive of the captor, is it
like Stockholm syndrome?
Munchausen by proxy is when you purposely make someone sick so you can keep taking care of them.
Reggie's gonna get
wow. You seem very conversant on all these things. Anyway, no, I digress.
Stockholm syndrome, Reggie. This is something he hates, but it's like Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. How dare you? The Beauty and the Beast is a beautiful movie. Should the sorcerers have?
Oh my gosh!
Should the sorcerers?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yes, he's a beautiful man with a beautiful heart.
He was ugly. When he transformed, he was
French. No. I understand to a Brit, the French aren't beautiful, but he was French.
Are you defending your people?
No, they're not people.
You heard it here.
Let's get back to Jesus. I am not French.
He's defending the French.
I am not. Let me get back to the point on and. I always talk about our sin is a verb, not a noun. Like our sin is a verb and not a noun. And that is how God sees it. Lying, stealing, whatever you want to go, like whoring around. Be careful with my terms. But
when someone's saying like, oh, love the sin or hate the sin, most Christians who say that are talking about people who are in the LGBT community.
Mm.
Nine times out of ten, that's usually what they're talking about.
I shouldn't say whoring. I should have said hoeing. Hoeing is a more known term. But yeah, like, it's normally sex.
I'll just bleep over.
No, but like, honestly, it's the big three. Are you drinking and getting drunk? Are you drugs or vaping? And are you having sex? If you're doing one of those things, now the super big one is, are you gay? But like, so one of those four are usually what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Then everything else, you're okay. But the truth is, God's sees us all as children who are prone to wander, who are a little stupid, and he needed to save. But our sins are verbs. They're not nouns. They should always remain that way. If you don't like certain verbs about your life, then don't do them.
Mm-hmm. So, last topic, I think. What does it mean, like, truly for Jesus to love the sinner? But, like, personally, not just, like, as a group, dying on the cross for, like, mankind. But, like, in our daily life, in a teenager's daily life, what does that mean?
It means, if you're talking about Jesus specifically, Jesus doesn't walk on eggshells. So it requires openness. When you read the scripture, if your life is in contradiction to him, you need to be open to understanding that you're falling short.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to like walk around and pretend things. He's going to give you compassion and mercy. He's not sitting there saying, oh my gosh, if you don't change this, I'll undone the cross for you. But he is simply saying, here's the truth. If you're doing these things, you need to stop. If you're a listener right now who's struggling with porn addiction, he's not sitting there saying, how dare you, but he's saying stop going to porn. Like, you need to get some books, you need to get some accountability, you need to get some help. I don't think everything is just easy to do on your own, but you still need to get out of it. And I think one thing I hate about the term addict is it gives you a license to keep doing stupid things. Yes, sure, there are struggles we all have. Right now, it's April. I am lost 48 pounds to 52 pounds in the last 3 months. I have struggled lifelong with losing weight and overeating, which is slothfulness, which is not keeping my body as a temple. The truth is, it's still a sin. And we still need to do better. Even to certain things, we have setbacks, or even for me to get my weight under control, it's going to take a lot longer. Some of us have put ourselves in pits, whether it's our mouth. We've just gotten so used to cussing that we just cuss, even though it's sinful. We've gotten so used to doing bad habits that the bad habits are deeply ingrained in us.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean we're sitting there saying, oh my gosh, if you don't get all your bad habits tomorrow, you're going to hell. But it does mean, do you acknowledge, I'm missing it. I'm falling short. God, I'm going to work on this.
Yeah.
But you will be working on yourself the rest of your life.
Well, and once you do come to Jesus, you're like, all right, I need to make a change. It's like the word is redemption. Like God will take something that's bad and make it good. And it's obviously you're not going to like, I mean, there are some influencers that are branding themselves with people who they used to struggle with porn or X, Y, and Z. But like God takes the sin that we used to or still struggle with and can redeem it so that we can help other people. There are so many people where like, oh, I struggle in this. And I'm like, oh, I get a lot about that, you know? And so he redeems us. He makes us new, but we're still going to continue to sin. So we have to keep
And what's funny is the sins that were most egregious to God were not the hoeing. Like, you look at him in prostitutes, he has a good reputation. Yeah. If you look at him in the tax collector, people who even cheated people, he did fine with them. The demon-possessed, he did fine with. The lepers, he did fine with. The self-righteous, judgmental hypocrites were the ones he least wanted to interact with, and most said didn't get it. The rich, self-righteous hypocrites. Mm-hmm. So you see people who are like, oh my gosh, they're just acting better than me. They're the ones who most have a problem with God. Yep. Because God doesn't like their heart, because they devalue his name.
Well, and going back to the original verse we're looking at, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He wants our heart. And if you're looking at his children and disgusted with them and thinking they're too far gone, you're falling in that category that he cannot stand, that he spits out, because you're being lukewarm, right? You're like, oh God, I'm doing all these things for you, but your heart reflects nastiness.
Yeah, there was there's nastiness. There was once like a people group that was really struggling, and there was this king that kept like imposing more and more like taxation without representation. So they had to fight against this English king to gain their freedom.
Yeah.
And therefore it's like, hey, listen, you just want control over me, but you're not worthy of it.
Mm.
So that's why God set
It's like people you want my money, but you don't want our hearts.
Are you saying the tea thing was God? It was God ordained.
I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm not saying that. I am not making a definitive statement on that theologically. I'm more of in jest roasting someone that happens to be a Brit in our group. So you didn't see it, but she just kicked me in the shin. Ow!
Okay, it is that time of the podcast where we will say code word, and if you are the first person to DM our Instagram account this code word, then you will get a $5 Starbucks gift card. Reggie?
The key word is DM Lindsay DeLong, Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm
Syndrome. Maddie has you held captive. Do you need to be set free?
Oh my god.
First to DM Lindsay, we'll get a $5 gift card.
That's terrible.
Okay. Mackenzie, anything else last to add?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody covered that pretty good.
Okay, cool. Well, with that, thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any additional follow-up questions or anything, please feel free to contact us. All of our social media links are down below, and we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions, get in contact with us. Check out the links below for our social media pages. DM us, message us, tag us in things, and we'll see you guys next time.